Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is a sunny Monday, the 24th of June at 6:30. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking about limited partnerships when it comes to institutional investing, and we'll be looking at female investors and whether they can get enough capital on all the markets as usual. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main international business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the exalted company of Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning to you, Joe. How are you? Good weekend, I hope.
Well, I had my wisdom tooth removed,
I'll change the subject.
Yeah, I had an ice pack to the right of my jaw for much of the weekend. So if I sound woolly, it'll be a bit like the weather in Brighton, I believe.
It's very foggy. It's weird. It does get very foggy here often, you know, autumn and spring, but in mid-June, just after the longest day, not normally, no. It's very strange indeed.
Yes, there was a very famous headline from the 1950s, fog in the channel, the continent is cut off. We in Ireland love citing that.
Yes, well, we know that feeling in the UK right now anyway, for various reasons.
Indeed, and you did. So listen, let's start with something that's close to both our hearts, and that is beer. Carlsberg. They're trying to buy Britvic, which owns Ballygowan here in Ireland.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. There's been about 30 bids now for British quoted companies on the London Stock Exchange, and this is the latest one. It's a £3 billion deal for the soft drinks maker, as you say, Ballygowan, one of its biggest brands, but also Fruit Shoes and Robinson's Juices. They've already increased the bid once to £12.50 a share, and management is pushing back, saying, no, we want to stay independent, or at least we don't think that's enough, thank you very much. So the Danish brewer's now got until the 19th of July to make a new bid or walk away. This is known as a PUSU, or put up or shut up deadline. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they do by the 19th of July. Intriguingly, one potential blockage for the deal was PepsiCo, for which Britvic does all of its bottling in the UK. But they've allegedly said, no, we wouldn't mind. We wouldn't be averse to that if it goes through. Carlsberg itself has a very big European bottling business.
Yes, it is. I'm just wondering whether, you're talking about the number of bids coming in for UK companies. That surely is a reflection of their undervaluation on UK markets.
I mean, the London market has not performed well relative to its international peers for a very long time. And actually, it was lagging a bit before the Brexit vote of 8 years ago. But it's a trend that you could argue has become more pronounced since then. The pound has never recaptured the levels it had just before the Brexit vote. So if you're an overseas buyer like Carlsberg from Denmark, you have an underperforming market and a cheap currency. And it just goes to showing, you know, classic economic theory, what's the best cure for low prices? Low prices, because it tempts in buyers.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's why, of course, the problems with the LSE, with companies delisting. In fact, this week we know that TUI, the German travel company, is delisting from London as well to add to the woe at the LSE. Now, let's talk about the word woe. The chief executive, I suppose the titular chief executive of X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, Linda Yaccarino, she has the knife out.
I think she's also looking at the knife between her own shoulder blades, if she's not careful as well, so far as you can tell. She's under pressure from the ultimate owner of X, which is some chap called Elon Musk, which I'm sure we've all heard of, something we've all heard of. And she's been put under pressure to raise revenue, cut costs, and also reshuffle the management team and try and reinvigorate the business, which still isn't doing, I think, what Mr. Musk envisaged for it when he paid $44 billion for it a couple of years ago. There's also another Musk group executive being brought in, a chap called Steve Davis, who's got a reputation as a cost cutter. So Yaccarino is definitely under pressure. Now, it's clearly hard for us to measure how Twitter is doing because it's no longer publicly quoted. It used to report its results every quarter, tell us how many users it had, how much revenue it had, whether it was making any money, which it wasn't really. I mean, there have been suggestions in the press, which Musk hasn't pushed back on, that it's lost between 70 and 90% of that $44 billion price tag that he paid for it.
90% of $44
in
billion.
In some estimates, yes. Right. Because advertisers, although in theory, I stress in theory, they're coming back, they don't seem to be coming back in the size that they once did. And some of his initiatives, like the blue check mark, haven't really worked. We're talking about it being a video-first platform, that hasn't really happened yet. And maybe that's one of the reasons why, A, Mr. Musk has sold over $40 billion of Tesla shares in the last 2 or 3 years, and B, why he was so keen to get his hands on that very small pay package he got signed off by the shareholders a couple of weeks ago for $56 billion US dollars.
which you won't be able to spend all in one shop, I think.
No.
It's staying with platforms, Meta and Apple are in talks, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one. Apple, as you know, a lot of shareholders have been expressing concern that despite Siri, it might not be as forward in the generative AI race as shareholders would like, or the company could be, given its dominant position in many other areas. They did announce at the Worldwide Developers Conference this month that iOS 18 would have some AI functions, including based on ChatGPT. But it wasn't the most enthusiastic endorsement ever. ChatGPT was mentioned for about 2 minutes in a two-hour presentation by boss Tim Cook. So maybe this is one way of Apple's way of trying to get itself back in the race by partnering with Meta. But it is also, according to the Wall Street Journal, in talks with Alphabet, Google's parent, and ChatGPT, and a startup called Anthropic, as it promises what it calls Apple Intelligence. Now, the only thing it's offered for that so far is custom-made emojis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens there. It doesn't sound very exciting to me. Mm-hmm. But maybe besides keeping their technological options open, they've been pretty careful by making it clear they're talking to everybody to keep regulators happy. Because if they're seen blocking out one particular option, the European Commission, which is already on their case, and a number of monopoly and antitrust arguments, maybe they'd have a look at it in AI as well. So maybe they're being a lot smarter than we think.
Yeah, especially with the Digital Services Act now in force.
Correct.
Now let's move to China. A few weeks ago, the EU applied tariffs on electric vehicles coming in from China. They said they were basically being subsidized in China and it was unfair on European car makers. There is a threat, of course, of retaliation from the Chinese, and there's a threat of a trade war. But you have read that there might be some sort of rapprochement.
Well, this is in the Financial Times. Those European tariffs of up to 48% on Chinese electric vehicles haven't actually been imposed yet. And German Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck was in China over the weekend, when I'm sure he was wishing he was watching the football, talking to Chinese delegates about these tariffs. And the Chinese have responded and said, okay, let's have some talks here. So maybe the Chinese are going to look at their pricing, their technology, what they can maybe make available. And China is a big issue for Germany, particularly. And EVs are a big issue for Germany. Automotive, clearly a massive part of its manufacturing industry. They do a lot of sourcing from China. German manufacturers have factories in China. And the Chinese are also being pretty canny. They're looking to already plan for these European tariffs by building a plant in Hungary, which would maybe get them around them and find a workaround. So we'll see what comes out of these talks. But maybe, just maybe, we don't get the tariffs imposed. We do avoid a trade war and we come to a friendly agreement. But as you say, we're playing for some pretty high stakes here across an extremely important industry.
Yes, of course, because if China did retaliate, it would probably slap it on politically sensitive areas such as French cheese and Irish beef or pork, which could affect people. But as you say, there's a fair bit of water in terms of talks that will flow under the bridge in that case. Do you get a sense that the Chinese don't really want a row with the Europeans, but whilst they know that they're in a full row with the Americans?
Well, I think that gives them plenty to think about as it is. And the Chinese economy isn't firing on all cylinders. We've got the third plenum coming up of this five-year cycle of the Central Committee. That's a big policy meeting in July that often focuses on economic policy. They have a real estate bust to deal with. Their pivot, I'm sure they would like to try and manufacture and export their way out of trouble. But if you're in a trade war with everybody, then nobody wants your exports and tariffs are getting in the way anyway. And they're domestic, and so they may have to rely on trying to boost domestic consumption. But again, that may require some policy plans, which is why lots of China watchers are looking forward to this big conference in July.
Now, what's going on at the Daily Telegraph? Its bosses are ending up at the Washington Post for some reason, but not all of them.
No, this isn't. I mean, so Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, he bought the Washington Post more than a decade ago, and it has, like many newspapers, started to leak readers. There was a big cost-cutting program there last year, and he actually brought in a Brit, ex-Daily Telegraph and Financial Times journalist, Will Lewis, as his chief executive at the Washington Post. He's appointed a guy called Robert Winnett to be editor of the Washington Post in the autumn. Now, the American journalists, being pretty diligent people, and don't forget this is the paper that broke Watergate, and they've done some research themselves on their new prospective bosses and didn't like what they saw. they found that Mr. Lewis, Mr. Winnett broke the parliamentary expenses scandal here in the UK, which was a huge story, won them huge amounts of kudos, and obviously caught the eye of Jeff Bezos. But they used paid sources, which in America, I'm led to believe, is an absolute
no.
Yeah. So they view that as unacceptable, and that's why they're very reluctant to have Lewis as their CEO and Winnett as their editor. Mr. Winnett's now decided he's going to stick with the Telegraph, which in itself has got its own challenges because it's about to be put up for sale for the second time in a year. And so at the moment, journalists at the Washington Post in open revolt. Now it's up to see whether Mr. Lewis can ride out the storm or indeed what Mr. Bezos decides to do.
Yeah, and spare a thought for Daily Telegraph journalists. If Labour
yes,
gets
definitely.
Stonk,
it's an uncertain time for them.
Yes,
absolutely.
Indeed. A stonking majority for Labour, then what are they going to do? Support the rump of the Tory party after that. Russ, thanks very much for your time and your expertise. That is Russ Mould from AJ Bell in a foggy Brighton.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.